Hi, my name is Paul Dunay, and welcome to another Buzz Marketing for Technology podcast. Welcome to another Buzz Marketing for Technology podcast, conducted in cooperation with Marketing Props. I'm your host, Paul Dunay, and today I'm speaking with Dan Ariely, a faculty member at MIT's Sloan School of Management and the MIT Media Lab, as well as a noted author of the book called Predictably Irrational and a blog by the same name. So welcome to the podcast, Dan.
Thank you very much. Nice to be here.
Great. So Dan is going to be one of the keynote speakers at the Marketing Props B2B Forum on June 9th and 10th in Boston, along with David Meerman Scott, which sounds like a fantastic lineup to me. I know I'm going to be there, as well as conducting a panel on Is Social Media Harder for B2B than B2C? So don't forget to join us for that. Now, Dan, the title of your book leads me to ask you, what do you mean when you say predictably irrational?
So when we think about irrational behavior, many economists think about that as being idiosyncratic and foolish, and that the mistakes we make would cancel each other out in the market. So you will make one kind of mistake, somebody else will make another kind of mistake, I will make another one, and at the average it would cancel each other out and everything will be fine. But I actually want to draw our attention that the mistakes we make are not random and idiosyncratic. They are predictable, that we as individuals do the same mistake over time, and different individuals make the same mistakes as well. So they're unlikely to cancel each other out in the market, and in fact, they might aggravate and aggregate the issues rather than diminish them.
Okay. I'm trying to think if I do that, you know, while I'm listening to you. Is there one type of person that this is more or less targeted to, or are there, you know, one type of person that is more or less irrational?
You know, we haven't found it. You know, usually when I talk to my wife, she assumes that women are more rational than men, and when I talk to men, they think they're more rational than women. And it's kind of interesting. When we look at ourselves, we have a very hard time seeing irrationality. And I think one of the interesting things is that we just don't have evidence for irrationality, so we assume we're rational. But in fact, when you do experiments and you carefully create the observation, you can just find how many irrationalities are there. And I also think it's very important for marketing. So think about the following analogy. When we come out to build products in the world, we build coffee machines and shoes and pens and whatever, we take people's physical ability into account. We see what people are good at, what they're bad at, and we try to build products that utilize what people are good at and overcome what they're not good at. When we come to the mind, sometimes we have an assumption that we're rational. And it's almost like we're trying to design products for Superman of the mind. So when we design mortgages and health insurance and all kinds of things that require our cognitive ability, we assume rationality and we build products that are for, you know, super beings. But if we understand where we fall short, where we are limited, where we might not be as good, the promise of behavioral economics is that we can actually build a better world. And I think for marketers, it's particularly important. Marketing is not just about selling something after the people have finished making it. It's really about understanding what the market needs and trying to design that product. And to the extent that we can understand people's cognitive limitations, we might actually be able to design better products.
I love that. You know, I've often used the saying, you know, marketing is about finding a market need and filling it. That's marketing, mm-hmm. Right? My wife hates when I say that statement, but it's actually very true. And so it leads me to think a little bit more along the lines of social media, right? So I'm fascinated with your book, but also where the intersection of that is with social media, right? Because in social media, you have a bit more of a crowd mentality. Is there a way that this sort of applies not just to the individual but to a crowd mentality as well?
Yeah. So I mostly deal with individual behavior in the book and in my research, and partially because it's much easier to study that phenomena. And of course, the next question to ask is, how does it work in aggregate? How does it work when multiple people get together? And there's all kind of examples of how irrationalities actually make themselves much worse when people get together. And maybe the saddest example is what happens when there's a fire in a theater or something. And usually when you analyze the situation, you see that there's some exits that nobody left through and some that were completely packed and people end up suffocating inside. And what happened is that if you were in the audience and there's a fire and you see everybody running in a certain direction, you just follow the crowd. You think they know something you don't know. It's very natural. And you follow that direction. And as a consequence, there are empty exits out there and you go to where it's too crowded and you can't get out. So there's a lot of things that actually get much, much worse in the aggregate this way.
Yeah, I see it's like an amplifier effect in that case.
Right.
So does it strike you that marketers act predictably irrational? Is it because the buyers are irrational, or is it because the buyers are, fickle? I mean, how does that sort of work out?
So, I think people are people. I mean, you don't become a different person because you're a marketer or you're a marketer to B2B or B2C. We have our own capability to deal with it. Maybe the best way to think about it is emotions. If you were an animal in the jungle or a human being in the jungle 250,000 years ago and you saw a tiger, what do you want to do? Do you want to sit there and think about the cost and benefits of running versus staying? How much energy would consume running? What's the risk and so on? Of course not. You want to have a system that would take into action, that will take over, that would not let you think and would just make you run as fast as you can. And that's really what emotions are. It's a separate system from cognition. They take over and they execute a command that you can't really interfere with. Now, turns out emotions worked like this for many, many years in providing a very good utility for us, and they still work the same. But now they work the same when we get upset with our spouses, when somebody cuts in front of us in line or driving, or when we lose money in the stock market. Emotions don't know that we live in a world that we don't have these life-threatening events from the stock market like a tiger, and they still work in the same way. And that's basically the way to think about irrationality, is it's a part of who we are. It's not that we're stupid or incapable or anything. Who is it to say that the way we were designed and evolved over the years should necessarily be rational? We have particular flaws and particular design elements that we just have to learn what they are. It turns out they are not the one that economic theory wants us to have. And it also turns out that we don't exactly understand who we are and what we are operating based on, what motivates us and so on. And this is why the study of irrationality is so exciting, because it really is a study of who we are and how we function and what really drives us, contrary to what we think influences us.
Now, I'm glad you said that B2B marketers or B2C marketers aren't any more or less irrational. That was a big, that was a good moment for me there when you said that. So another question around emotion. You brought up the concept of emotion, which I think is sort of the undercurrent here. Yeah. And then I begin to think when I'm talking about emotion, about brand and how people have emotional connections to brand, is that kind of where you're going as the holy grail in being maybe predictably rational rather than predictably irrational?
It turns out that there's one way to be rational, and there are many, many ways to be irrational. And emotion is one very important general aspect in which we are irrational, and it has huge implications for marketing, right? Because it just means that we have two different systems to make decisions. We have a cognitive system where we make more cost-benefit analysis, like economics think we should do, and like sometimes we do. But it also means we have a different system to create different inputs and different decision strategies. And marketers, I think, often try to use that system, but don't necessarily understand it perfectly. But it doesn't end there. There's also other things that happen that turns out to be just very difficult. So think about something like that you know very well, like coffee. I'm guessing you drink a cup of coffee a day or so?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay. Now, imagine a cup of coffee. You drink it, you enjoy it, and now I ask you, what's your reservation price for this? What's the most you will be willing to pay for it? How much pleasure is it giving you in terms of dollars? It's interesting that we assume that everybody could do it very easily, but the fact is that it's very, very hard. How would you do this translation from coffee to money, right? It's just really, really complex. What you have to think about is all the possible things you could do with money and how much pleasure they would give you, and compute the marginal utility from coffee compared to all these other things and the marginal cost, and come up with some computation. Very, very hard to do. Now, money is one of those things. It's not about emotions, but it turns out that while money has a lot of advantages in the marketplace, it's also very, very hard to think about. So what do? We resort to other strategies. For example, we rely on our habits. You know, imagine that tomorrow the price of gasoline, it's too depressing. Let's say the price of alcohol halved and the price of milk doubled, right? What would happen tomorrow? We would all have kind of a lighter step and less calcium, right? Because we would do that. But it's really because the utility, the pleasure we get from alcohol and milk doesn't justify the price? No, it's because we remember the price from yesterday, and it makes it very hard for us to pay double because yesterday it was so much cheaper. If the price has changed overnight and we didn't have any memory for what the prices were in the past, the effect would not be closely to being as large. Okay, so what is happening here? What is happening here is that we have a hard time thinking about money, so instead we do something that we can think about, which is how much something cost yesterday. And we substitute a hard-to-think-about problem with an easy-to-think-about problem, and we as individuals making decisions solve the wrong problem, but we feel good about it. And that's the general idea. The general idea is that the real computations we have to do for all kinds of tasks are just too complex. So we take shortcuts and we make different computations that are easy and that we can actually do. And as a consequence, we don't behave rationally.
Okay, so if you were to boil it down to one recommendation for marketers, what should they focus on as an output of predictably irrational?
Okay, so I'm defined to one?
Two. Okay, we'll go two.
I would say, let's talk about the first one. The first one is to recognize that our intuitions are flawed. A lot of those things, people predict that they will behave one way, but in fact they behave something else. So they think they're motivated by factor A, but in fact they're motivated by factor B. And that's incredibly important, because to my disappointment, marketing works too much on intuitions. And even when we don't work on intuition and we invite focus groups, it just means that we get the intuitions of people who are not experts. Okay? So the first thing is doubt your intuitions. Now, what do you do with it? If you doubt your intuition, how do you test them? The right way to do it is to do experiments. Okay? And that's what science is all about. It's about figuring out what we don't know and then deciding how we're going to test it. And maybe a good analogy here is to think about the FDA. You know, medicine for many years was nothing but placebos. Eye of a toad, of a frog, you know, different ointments. Now, the FDA came along and forced people to do experiments. If you're a physician and if you believe that leeches are good, you're not going to deprive half of your patients from leeches just to make sure that it's indeed good. The same thing marketers, if you have an idea of something that will be good for your customers, it's very hard to decide to deprive half your customers from it just to test out if it's correct. But without this discipline, without the discipline of testing out for sure whether intuitions are right or wrong, we're going to get stuck with the similar situation of medicine in the 18th century. So it's doubting our intuitions and experimenting more clearly. And then if I can take another one.
Okay.
Is to use the behavioral economics and irrational angle to try and understand our customers better, to try and understand what they can do, what they can't do, what's easy for them and what's hard for them, and to use that as an important input in designing products.
Sounds simple enough. It's obviously very difficult in practice.
That's
all right, one quick one for you. I got to ask this about your riddle on your website, which I thought was very cool. The riddle of, if a man talks in the forest and his wife is not there to hear him, is he still wrong? I think I know the answer, but I just wanted to get it straight from you.
I think it depends on your relationship, but in my case, I'm still wrong.
Excellent. Okay. Well, Dan, thank you very much for joining me today. I really appreciate your time. And don't miss Dan's keynote speech at Marketing Profs B2B Forum on June 9th and 10th in Boston. His book, of course, will be available at the event as well as on Amazon.com. For our listeners, We'll be glad to continue this conversation with you online, and we'll be back again next week with another ProfCast. So thank you very much for listening. Thank you for joining us today. We look forward to having you back next week on another Buzz Marketing for Technology podcast.